this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Thanks, Christy. All right, and we even get free water. Woohoo! I was planning for this. Okay, sure. It's such a privilege for us to be here this evening with you all. I can see there's a lot more. Ooh, wow. That's interesting. There's a lot more people favoring that side. I don't know what's happening there. Anyway, we'll face most of you here. I wanted to just introduce ourselves. My name is John, and for you that don't know me, and it's my wife Tanya, and we've been in Shofar now for about seven years, and we've been members there, and we've actually met each other in church, and we've been on a few mission trips together as well, and got to know each other. I like what this guy said about getting to know the people, and then now we've been married nearly 3 years. And but we've been through some interesting things. And the title actually of our message this evening is It's Complicated. And you might have seen, I was reading up on that today actually on Facebook. It's one of the statuses you can have, is it's complicated. It's interesting what people see that as. But ours is a little different because it includes God and just what He's done in our lives. And really that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, is how it is complicated, but how God is very much part of it. So just from my side, I'll speak a little bit more about who I am and just my story. We're really going to just be sharing our stories actually this evening with you. We'll be looking at a few scriptures as well, but it's really what's happened in our lives. And so my wife's just going to introduce herself and a bit about who she is.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Tanya. And I, what I do is I work at Tembisa Hospital. I'm a second year intern. I also studied at Takis for 6 years, and I was part of Kalitia for 3 years. And John and I got married at the end of my fifth year of studies. And so, yeah, so like John said, we're going to be sharing our stories. We're not just going to be sharing about from the time we met until we got married, but we're also going to be sharing a bit about our lives before that, growing up and the things that we struggled with and the things that God did in our lives, because we'll just give you a background of even the way we approached one another in our relationship and the struggles we had, and just to testify of what God has done. So I hope you enjoy it, and I hope that you learn something and that some questions that you might have maybe answered tonight, some struggles that you might have, maybe that you can relate with the struggles we had. And you're welcome to speak to us even afterwards and share your story with us, or ask us questions. And we would only be too glad to just pray with you or to give you some advice. So just relax and just enjoy our story.
All right. I just want to ask, who of you have ever been in a complicated relationship? There's a little hand there. Okay. So a lot of you can relate with what we're going to be talking about just this evening. I think to start off with, it's interesting when we look at what complicates a relationship. And really, that is what we're going to be talking about tonight as well. And I want to give us just a brief basis or background for that, because maybe you wondered, why do I feel or think or do the things I do in a relationship? And we're going to be talking about those. And I'm just going to give us, like I said, just a reference for that when we look at the Bible, because it explains it here. And if you've done first year Bible school, then you would have done part of this. But I'm just going to read a scripture for us, and it's in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now in that scripture, it mentions three things. It talks about your spirit, your soul, and your body. And these are what make you up. So you're made up of these three. So therefore, they play a part even in your relationships. And we're going to have a look at those, and we're going to talk about those a bit this evening as well. Just to give you a bit more of a picture, your spirit is where God dwells, all right? It's where you actually have relationship with Him, where you engage with Him. And then your soul is your emotions, it's your will, and it's your mind, all right? So the things you think, the emotions, those things you feel. And then your body is your flesh, all right? Your senses, the things you feel. And these three make up the part of your of who you are as a person. And we're gonna, as we tell our stories this evening, we'll be talking about how we actually picked up that these three played a part in our story. And it will probably play definitely a part in your story as well, and what you hear and what you think. So that's the basis for this evening. So when you're hearing our story, maybe you can relate to your own life and just remember those, that you're actually made up of three parts, your spirit, your soul, and your body, and they play a part in this. So my wife's going to start with her story, and then I'll follow up with mine.
Okay. So I'm going to start way back, just to give you a bit of a background about myself. When I was, as far back actually as I can remember, my parents, they did like mission work, and they worked for an organization which helped people off the streets, people that struggled with addictions. So basically anybody could come and stay at the place we were staying, and they would get food and clothing, and they could like just kind of recuperate and, you know, prepare themselves to face the world again. And my parents worked for this organization, and the founder of the organization, his name was Trevor, he started molesting me when I was a very small girl. As far back as I can remember, I actually don't have memories before that time, so I think it was when I was still very young. And I never really understood what was going on. I never really told anyone about it because I was afraid, and he was also, like, he was a very well-known person. People admired him. So I was afraid to share about what was happening, and I also really didn't understand it because it just started when I was so young, and it was just the way things were. And also I was just a very anxious person, a very timid child, so I was very afraid to share, and I didn't tell my parents, I didn't tell my family. So this continued for many years, and now looking back, I understand that from that whole process of being molested, I developed a habit of masturbation. And I didn't even really know what this was called or what I was doing, but it just kind of helped me to relieve my fears and my anxiety. So this happened also when I was young, and it just carried on through many years. And when I was in about 13, my parents left this organization to go and do other things, and because they also realized that some things weren't healthy within the organization, so they left, and I still didn't tell them anything, and I still struggled with this habit of masturbation. So yes, girls also do struggle with masturbation, and it's a very common thing, and sometimes it stems from insecurities, fear. Lots of times when there's a lot of anxiety within a family, then that's just a habit that children develop. And so I still struggled with this, and I didn't even know what it was, what it was called. It was just this habit that just made me feel better. And so then in about my grade 11 year, my parents are born again Christians, and they said we must think about it if we would like to be baptized. Now, baptized, for those that are Afrikaans, is groetdoop, and that's where we believe that we just lay down our old selves and just identify ourselves with Christ and just decide to take on a life serving Christ, following Christ, and seeking His kingdom. And so I really wanted to do that. I had a relationship with God since I was very young, but I still felt like there was this good side of me. There was this Tanya that performed well at school, that was a, you know, good child that did all the right things, but then there was this part of me that struggled with this addiction and had all these secrets and all this unforgiveness and hatred that no one saw. So I felt like there was this, you know, this dark side that I was hiding from the world, and I was under the impression that if I got baptized and I fell back into the habit of masturbation, that there would be no forgiveness for me, that I would then go to hell, which was a really silly idea, but that's what I felt at that time. And so I struggled. I really tried to stop, and I really tried to just change it, but I couldn't, out of my own, you know, out of my own strength and my own will. And so eventually I just surrendered, and I just said to God, I really want to follow you. I really want to commit my life to you, but I'm struggling and I'm weak, so please help me. And I was baptized at the end of my grade 11 year. And looking back, for me, that was really a turning point in my walk with Christ, because since then, just seeking to put the things of God first, and just slowly but surely, not suddenly, but God just took away the habits. He took away the addiction. He started bringing healing. But it was still my own walk. I never told anyone about it. And I had a lot of insecurities, a lot of struggles. And then I went on a first year camp, and I came here to varsity. The only church that I found on the internet, Hatfield Christian Church, so that I heard a bit about, and we went on a first year camp, and we were about 11 people on that camp, and that was now in 2008, and they were speaking the one day about forgiveness, and I realized that I had to forgive Trevor for what he had done. I had to forgive God, because I was also angry at God for letting these things happen, and I had to forgive my parents because they didn't see or didn't know about anything. Even had to forgive myself for just being too afraid to speak up and all those kind of things. So, and the pastor just spoke about forgiveness, and I actually wrote in my diary, and I wrote it down. And even though I didn't feel like forgiving anyone, I just declared it and declared forgiveness. And that was also part of the healing process. And then in my second year, before I get to that, in my first year as well, we also had Relationship Week. I think that was the first Relationship Week that they held here at the university. And during that time, there was also on a Thursday evening, there was a session where they took the girls and the guys separately, and they also had a question and answer session. And there was a lady speaking there, and she explained how she struggled with the habit of masturbation. And I understood what it was, and I understood what was going on. And then I realized that I had to tell someone about it, even though I didn't struggle anymore. Like it was still a secret, and I just felt like I shouldn't be holding on to these secrets. And so I went to my small group. And for those that, for those that don't know, I'm not used to speaking so much. I'm fine. Sorry. So for those that don't know, small group is basically in the church that we're in, Shofar Christian Church, we meet up all across the city in groups of about 6 to 10 people. And it's just people that we share life with. We meet up once a week to share about our struggles, to share about the things that God is doing. And it's people that can keep you accountable. They can check up on how you're doing, pray with you. And that's important. And these were the people that I first shared my struggles with and my secrets with. And that was just such a, it just felt like there was such a burden that was lifted, because I didn't have to carry it myself anymore. It wasn't the secret. I was open. I didn't have this dark side anymore. God had set me free. And it obviously was scary to share with people, but it was just the beginning of healing. And so that came from the first Relationship Week that I'd attended. And then in my second year, God told me that you must tell your parents what happened. So that was very scary, because I dealt with some of the things, but I didn't want to really burden them. But God told me to do it. And so this is where just what John was saying, you know, you get your spirit, you get your soul, and you get your flesh. And my emotions at that stage, my soul didn't want to share with people, even at the small group. I didn't really want to share, because it would mean making myself vulnerable before them, maybe feeling ashamed for the things that I'd struggled with. But God said, this is what you must do, and this is how you will get healing, and this is how you will bring healing in other people's lives. And so I had to be led by the Spirit. And so I went and I shared with my parents, and it obviously was very emotional and difficult for them as well, but it was very good, and it's brought a lot of healing, even in our relationship. And in my second year, I think that's when I first met John. Yeah, I think so. I didn't think much of it then. We went to a dance together. Our church had like a formal dance, and he asked me to go to the dance. So we went to the dance together, and that was basically it. And from my side. And in about September of my second year, I was praying, and I'd never dated anyone before or been in any kind of relationship. And while I was praying one day and just speaking to God about relationships, because obviously I desired a relationship and I desired to be in one, and I was just praying to God about these things, and I just felt that, I just had a feeling like the still small voice of the Holy Spirit just say to me that you shouldn't be in a relationship for the next 2 years. And that's what I felt. And it's not like I heard a big voice or it was clear or anything like that, but that's what I felt, and I just trusted that was the Holy Spirit. And I immediately went to one of my close friends, and I told her that this is what I feel God is saying, please keep me accountable to it. Because it's so easy along the way to just say, no, it couldn't really have been, I don't think it was really God, or, you know. But if you have someone that's watching out for you and that remembers and that you told, say, you know, just watch out for me. When times get difficult or when I'm not listening, please remind me that this is what God said, and whatever God says, you know, that's the ultimate standard. And so during those 2 years, I would say that there was about two opportunities to go into a relationship with different people that I knew. But it was, you know, my emotions at that time were also like, oh, maybe it wasn't really God. And some people actually told me, no, maybe it wasn't really God that said wait 2 years. But this one friend, she was the one that said, if you think that it was God speaking to you, then you have to obey. And, you know, my spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of me also just convicted me that we listen to God above anything else, above our emotions, above our flesh. And so, so I didn't pursue anything else in that time. But just these 2 years were just time when I could just grow in my relationship with God, in my relationship with people, because even during that time, John will tell you, but I was very insecure. I struggled to relate with people, to relate even with guys. I just had built up these walls around myself, so I wouldn't let anyone in. I would just be this, I don't know, I just, you know, not let anyone see my vulnerability, just protect myself, and just struggle through my own things on my own. And and then 2 years after, exactly on 2 years after that, on the first, the beginning of September, I was friends with, I am still, but I was friends with John's sister at the time. And so I actually went to their house to visit his sister. And that's when I was leaving that John asked me for a coffee, to go for a coffee with him. So I guess that's the beginning of our story together. Before that, I'd heard through the grapevine that John liked me. And I just was not interested at all, because because I was just sticking to what God had said. And I really wasn't sure if I liked him. And we'd been on a mission trip together, so we knew each other. We were, I guess you could say we were friends. But I was just, yeah, guys, I really didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know who I was. I was very confused. So then... In the beginning of September, John asked me out for coffee, and I didn't really even know if I wanted to go for coffee, for, you know, just for a coffee with him. I didn't go for coffee with anyone, but I know it doesn't mean you're going on a date or whatever, but I wasn't that kind of person. And so he asked me out just to go have coffee with him. And basically at that time, I just trusted that God said 2 years, and the 2 years was not over, and the first person who asked me for a coffee, that must be him. So I said yes. I was just trusting in the character of God. Like God said 2 years, and I'm just going to trust that this was God, and 2 years, this is not 2 years, so he was the first person. So I'll go have a coffee with him. And even since I was a small girl, I used to always pray and ask God that, God, I just want my first boyfriend to be my husband. I don't want to, I don't want anyone else. Just, that's what I want. And through all the years, I've just trusted that God is good, and he heard my prayers, and that was a big desire of my heart. And that's what he's given me. And I just also want to remind us that God is good. God is faithful. God is sovereign, and God does hear your prayers. And things might look different. Things might go up and down. It might, you know, things might be complicated, but it doesn't change who God is, and it doesn't change his character. And that's one thing you can trust in, is in who God is. And that's where, you know, we get to know God through his word. That's who we get to know. That's how we get to know who he is. And by spending time in the word, we can know who he is, and we can trust in that. Not in man, because we are all weak, and yeah, we all fail. But okay, so John asked me for coffee. So John asked me for coffee, and then he said after that he would like to spend more time with me. So I said yes. So I wasn't sure. I was so confused. And then I went back and I prayed, and God said to me, whatever John says, you must just do it. Which was really good for me, because I was, I don't know, some people, yeah, know me, and they'll know that I was just very insecure, and I really didn't know what I want, and I really had so many issues just from my, from everything, from everything that happened in the past, and so I still had a lot of things to deal with, and so God just said to me, well, you know, just go along with whatever John says. So John asked me out, so I said yes. even though I really wasn't even sure how I felt about him, if it was right, if it wasn't right, but I just held on to what God said, because God is faithful, and God knows, and God knows me, and he will protect me. He's not there to, you know, to let me get hurt or anything like that, or to shame me, but he will protect me. So I just trusted in who he was. And I was difficult. John will tell you, but I was a difficult person. Like, he would call me while we were dating, and I just wouldn't answer because I wasn't listed to talk with him. Because I was just dealing with my own thing. So like, I'd be at home on holiday, and he'd want to talk, and I'd just send him a message and say, I can't talk now. I'm going for a jog on the farm, or I'm going to do some random thing. So and he was just persistent, because God spoke to him about who I am and what I need, and he just kept going. And there were many times where I thought, I think I should just run away, like, not just break this off. I don't know what I want. I don't know if this is right. But because God had said, just do whatever John says, I couldn't be disobedient. So then we started dating around the end of September. In December, John was visiting me at my family's farm. And he told me that he thinks he'd like to marry me. I was just, it was shocking. I didn't say anything. I just stared at him. Like, I can't believe this. I really didn't give him any answer. I couldn't even say I love you, nothing. I was very insecure. And God just kept on speaking to him. And it was just amazing for me how John understood me and things about me more than I understood myself. Like, through all my insecurities and all my mixed up emotions and everything, John just, he just understood me. And that just comes from his relationship with God, I believe. And he could tell me things about myself that, you know, I couldn't even explain, but he could explain them to me, and it just suddenly made perfect sense. And so we got engaged in, I think it was May 2012. And so even that... Yeah, okay, at that time my emotions were a bit more in line, and I did want to get engaged, but I was still just trusting God up until the day that we got married. And but it's been so blessed, because God just knew who he would send to pursue me. God knew me. He knew my heart. He knew my desires, and he made a way. And I'm so grateful. To God and to John for listening to God. Okay, so in September this year we'll be married for 3 years, which is really cool, and it's really been the best time ever. Like from the moment before we got married, even while we were engaged, I struggled to open up my heart. I struggled to even be vulnerable or to share openly with John. And that's something that I really trusted God for, because I think from all the things in the past and all the hurts, I'd really just bottled everything up and I didn't really know how to release it. But John was just good at, you know, getting me to open up and to share and to just be vulnerable. And I can really say that there was one of the desires of my heart just while we were engaged, that when we're married, that my heart will be open and it won't be shut. It won't have any walls around it. And God has been so faithful from the day that we were married. It's just been the dating and the engagement and everything was actually quite a difficult time for me because I was so insecure. But from being married and these last 3 years have really been the best time ever. And John's just grown to be my best friend and my husband, which is so great. And God has just been so good. So that's my story. John will share more. He likes more details and things. But that's the healing that God has brought in my life, and he will continue that. But I'm forever grateful to God for what He's done and for bringing John across my path and for John's persistence in pursuing me. So we'll just hear a bit about what John has to say.
Sure, I sound like such a good egg. Wait till you hear my story. Oh, no. God is good. All right, let's start. I'm going to start in high school as well. I grew up in a Christian family. It was a loving family, and I went to a boys' high school, and it was a really good time until in grade 10, I was introduced myself at least to pornography, and I remember actually being given a magazine at school and thought this was the greatest thing under the sun. Even though I was a Christian, I just had this fascination with what was in there. And so that was actually the start of a lot of things that started going wrong eventually. And I actually grew to get addicted to pornography. Specifically also playing, I used to play a lot of computer games and stuff, and those guys used to just share whatever they had, which was pretty horrible. So unfortunately, I was exposed to quite a lot of rubbish via that, and really built up just the addiction even into my varsity days. But the problem with that is, and this is a thing, I don't even think I've read an article or anything about pornography, because I actually teach a session at Bible school about pornography as well. I'll be sharing it later this year. And how it actually plants a seed. That's the problem. It plants a seed in your soul almost of what you desire to be a woman and what a woman must do and be. And that's the problem, is that's the thing that gets planted in you. And even though you don't realize that, it has fruit, it bears fruit later in your life. And this is also what happened, and I'll talk about that as we go on. But so I found myself in a Christian home, but dealing with this secret habit of mine. And I was actually a youth leader at the time as well, in matric and standard 9 at a church. And it was so funny because I was counseling guys that were struggling with pornography. I'm like, yeah, guys, it's horrible. I'm addicted to this stuff. So it was just, God is just so faithful, because he set them free, but I was still struggling with this silly thing. Anyway, so I remember being a youth leader and feeling actually quite ashamed about that, but that's that. Then I went to varsity, and things changed a little. I actually joined a new church, and I actually just started growing a bit more in my relationship with God. And I also got baptized in standard 9 or grade 11. And started to experience God's presence just in my life and Him working in my life. And then went to varsity, but I just struggled with a lot of insecurity as well. I really wanted to be in a relationship. I'd never been in a relationship coming through high school, and I just wanted to find almost my identity. I wouldn't say that, but I wanted to belong to someone or feel valuable in a sense by attaching myself to a relationship. So I really longed for that. And I think we all long to be in a relationship. Even if you're sitting here, you're like, I want to get this thing right and I want to be in a relationship. So we have that longing to be with someone. Anyway, so I met a girl that was actually in the church as well, not this church, another church. And we were actually youth leader. Actually, we started a student ministry on campus as well at that time. And she was part of it, and this whole group of people that were part of it. And God was really blessing it. And we actually started to, she was also in my small group, it was a problem, but she was also in our kind of home group, small group thing, and we got into a relationship, and it was, seemed good for the first 4 months, and then we slept together. And if I think about back to it now, it was purely born out of that seed that had been planted long ago. And that was sort of a hidden desire that I never really dealt with regards to walking away from and getting healing from before I actually entered into relationship. And so that happened. And it was devastating for me because I had always hoped, being brought up in a Christian home, you know, that you want to keep yourself for marriage. That's like the goal, in a sense. You really want to keep yourself for marriage and for your wife. And now, not to say that this wouldn't be my wife, but that was something that it gripped me because I sort of, in my heart, that's what I wanted. And I really felt that's what God wanted too, obviously. But I had to deal with this disappointment now. And I remember we tried to work the relationship through. I realized a bit later down through trying to sort things out that she had more issues and she was in a relationship before this and dealt with a few things that actually affected her as well. So it was a two-part thing, but we eventually, after a period of time, we split up and decided it's not going to work. Thankfully, I saw her the other day. She's married now with two little kitties, which is great. And it's something wonderful how God can heal your heart, even for a person. And we forgave each other. And I remember seeing her, and there wasn't like this awkwardness, like, oh, I'm going to run away and hide. But we could actually just talk to each other and have a conversation because God is faithful. God heals us, and really, He's the one working things out. So that was that relationship. So, and through this whole time, we were still part of the student ministry. It was very sad because God, you know what? God uses people, and even though we're not faithful, He is always faithful. And it's just so crazy to see that God still works with people while you're in your mess. Anyway, so we stepped down from that as well. Then after that, I left actually. We were part of a church plant at the same time, and we actually came back. I went back to the main church, and I just experienced a deep emptiness for a year. I did everything I could at church. I volunteered everywhere, and I didn't feel God's presence for about a year. And I was actually really just, I was really lost, I felt, at that time. And then I went on a camp with a few friends of mine. We went into the Lesotho Mountains, and that whole year, it was just this year of working, of really trying to serve wherever I could in church or try to earn back God's approval of me. But it didn't work. I was I just felt empty and distant and actually very tired. And at the end of that year, we went, I remember, away, and there was a mountain there that we stayed at. And I remember God, I wasn't saying God, but I just felt, no, I need to go to the top of this mountain. It was cold. It was about -5 in the morning when we woke up there in Lesotho. And I felt, now I'm going to hike to the top of this mountain in the early morning, and I'm going to go to the sun to warm up. And I took my Bible with me and my little MP3 player, and I walked up to the top of this hill or mountain. It took a little while, and eventually got to the sun. And I sat there in the grass, and I'll never forget it, because I just started to, I was reading some psalms and just started actually singing my own songs. I don't have the best singing voice, and I was just singing, crying out out of my heart towards God, because I hadn't experienced His presence that whole year. And I remember singing, and the sheep next to me, they were like bleating, like blah, because they were the only ones there. It was me and the sheep, and they were eating the grass there, and they were like, "This is a crazy human. What's he doing here?" And I was just singing, just crying out to God, and I'll never forget it. God's presence just came, and it felt just like His love just poured out over me, into my heart. And I remember actually just falling back, just lying back in the grass and crying and crying and crying. And I remember Him saying that whatever the devil has stolen, I will restore. And that was it. That's all He said. And I just remember the intense love that He just revealed to me there. And then I felt a lot better after I'd cried a bit. I don't know how long I was there, and then I just wiped the tears out of my eyes and greeted the sheep and walked down the hill again. And got down to the hill and saw my friends there, and just told them about just this experience that I had with God, and that He really just came to heal me in an instant from this thing, and to release me of just my own bondage of trying to earn back His approval. After that, really just committed my life to serving God and wanting to know Him more, and learning that it's not about so much striving to know Him, but just being with Him. That really was what I learned at that time, that God wants you to be with Him, not earn His approval and ticking the right boxes or doing the right courses or anything, but knowing Him. And He wants that for all of us. So I then, for about a year, I stayed in a church I was in, and then God spoke to me quite clearly. He said, "It's time to go. I'm going to move you." And I was a bit rebellious for about half a year because I didn't know where to go. But then He actually showed me quite crazily. That's a story for another time. Shofar, and I came to Shofar, and God spoke to me in the worship that evening. I was there, that this is where you need to be. And yeah, the following day I got a phone call for a job at a high school right opposite the church, and accommodation, everything. It was just really crazy. God worked powerfully just to place me there and to fit me there. So that's where I've been now for, I'd say, 6 or 7 years. And yeah, just grown in the church and grown in community. And I think that's also very important, is, and I'm sure Tanya just shared, is that a lot of healing often takes place in community. It doesn't take place by yourself, you know. By I remember just my friends even just being so encouraging the whole time. They were actually the first people I shared when I actually slept with this girl. I remember sharing with my best friend, and I was just broken. I was crying, like when you cry that the snot runs to the floor. And I remember Him just coming to me, and He just put His arm around me, and He just hugged me. He didn't say anything. He just embraced me, and like no one could, you know. And I just remember that it's people. God uses people to often just bring the release in our lives, because we don't need someone to tell us that we've done something wrong. We know we've done something wrong. We need someone to be there with us. And it's in community that you really experience that. Well, we have. So, yeah. Then time passed by, and again, that desire to be in a relationship, it didn't go away, but really, I think the focus changed. And this is also just going back to that body and flesh. My flesh sort of ruled over my life up until this point, up until where God actually came and changed my heart and started to really work in my spirit to lead me. And I was really, I was open to the flesh when I was in high school and a student, and I didn't let God's spirit lead me. So just keep that in mind. And look, guys have emotions too, but I had less of the emotions at this point in time. I dealt with more my mind and what God was saying. Then as time passed, and this is something also important, we often, and I always mention this when I speak to people, and I'm going to mention it tonight to you, even if you're in a relationship or you're single, a lot of people, they wish away a season of what God is doing in their lives. You might be single, and God might be telling you it's time to get married, and that's fine, or find a person to get married or enter into a relationship. But a lot of people, they wish away a season of being single where you can pursue God fully, where it's just you and Him. And that's such a special time. I think often people, they neglect that. They wish the next season would come. Like, I just want to be in a relationship so I can feel close, or I can belong. And from being in a relationship, I just want to be engaged. I just want to be married. I just want to have kids. I just want to retire. I just want to die. So we wish away our whole lives. And then you wonder, you don't enjoy the season you're in, you know. And I think that's important, is we enjoy the season you're in. You actually embrace what God is doing in this time. Because it's going to be very different. Each season is different. And a lot of people, they have this, their mind set on something that isn't going to come for the next little while. The problem is you've set your eyes on something that is coming, but you don't enjoy the now. You don't enjoy the people around you. You don't enjoy life even around you. You don't grow even in your relationship with God because you're focusing on the next step. So enjoy the season you're in. If you're single and you're young, then enjoy that. All right? Enjoy your friends. I remember, I wish I could go back. How many times I'm like, oh, I wonder how I look. I'm like, I'm single. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to enjoy my life. I'm going to stop worrying about what people think about me. And just enjoy life. And it's really that also that I want to share with you. Don't let the next thing hold you. Enjoy the season you're in. In pursuing Tanya, like she said, I asked her to that dance. And it was quite a funny story, actually, where we, as a small group, decided we're going to go to this dance. I was new. I'd only been in the church for 2 weeks, so I didn't know anyone, but I was keen to get to know people. So I told a friend to point out all the single ladies. Because our pastor at the time, Pastor Heinrich, said, guys, if you don't invite the girls, how are they supposed to go to the dance? So I'm like, oh, I heard it from the pulpit. That must be fair. So after the service, I said, well, who's single, yeah? And he pointed out a few girls, and he pointed to Tanya. Like, oh wow, no, she looks quite nice. I think I'll go ask her. And she actually did say yes, but there was a condition. Ladies, don't do this. She said, all right. She said yes, but you need to find a date for my friend. And I was like, okay. Luckily, Tanya's friend was quite pretty as well. And the guy who helped me point out all the single ladies helped me out. So that was the first time we actually really got to know each other. And it was just nice to spend time together. Then from that point, we went also on a mission trip to Windhoek. And I knew I liked her. But she didn't really know that she liked me yet. And then on the trip, it was so funny because the pastor there, I think he's still there somewhere also in Namibia now, but Pastor Carl, he was having a chat with us as a team, and he said, you could be sitting with your marriage partner in this room. And I was like, yes, you say it. You say it. And I'll never forget, he prayed a prayer of blessing over us there. I was like, wow, this is awesome. This could be it. And just be careful about those things as well, because you can find yourself in a trap. But yeah, it happened. Eh? So you must tell him. But so we came back, and then there's also that. It's what's lovely about our church is we have this no dating rule after missions, which is probably a very, very good thing. So we weren't even allowed to think along those lines. However, there's something in the heart, you know, that you feel towards a person, and you're wondering if this, again, now this is, we're looking at the soul, our emotions, you know, the emotions start to grow, like, ooh, I wonder if this could work. You start putting scenarios into place, and yeah, so that started to happen. I remember also, though, speaking to just some wise counsel, some friends, and they were just like, well, see what happens, you know, don't rush into anything. God will work it out in his time. And I'm like, oh yeah, of course he will. But I'm thinking, you know, I just want this thing to happen now, because you want to, if you feel that it's right, then you want to do it. You want to get into a relationship. So I remember the one morning, I was working at the school here, and I got woken up early, 4 o'clock in the morning, by this weird bird outside my window. I was like, what? This is weird. So I remember waking up, getting in my car, and driving actually to the Pilansberg Game Reserve by myself. That might be weird for you, and it was weird at the time. But I spent the day there, actually at a watering hole there, just praying. And God spoke to me actually quite clearly about Tanya. He said, I see that you like her, but no. And I was like, oh God, I'm sure I heard wrong. I'm sure I heard wrong, yeah. And that's what he said. And I it wasn't in my mind, it wasn't a voice, it was in my spirit. And that's the thing, is I'd grown in my relationship with God, where I could listen in my spirit to his voice. And so I trusted God. I trusted him in that he had spoken, and he would work it out. If she wasn't to be the one, then I'm okay with that, because I know that he has the best plans for me. So I came back after that, and I wasn't very encouraged by it, but that's what he said. And I just carried on with life, enjoyed life. I spent time with other people in church and just did my own things. Always keeping in mind that he said, I can see that you like her, but no. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means like, no, not at all, or whatever. Man. So I just, that's all I heard. And I went by that. So waiting, you know, I waited on God in the sense for his timing and what he wanted to do. And then it was about a year and a half after that, that a friend of mine, some of you will name Andre, the relationship expert. he was my district leader at the time, and we had a cell group together, and he asked me, so who do you like? That's probably a question you'll get from Andre. he asked me, who do you like? And I'm like, well, you know, there's this girl, and I don't know, this girl's also nice, but it's really actually this girl that I like. And but God said no. It's like, when did he say no? And I prayed a while back, and I'm trusting him. And he said, well, have you asked him again? And I'm like, no, why would I ask him again? God's God. He says one thing once, and that's it. It's like, no, I think you should ask God again. So then I actually did. I went and prayed, and God spoke to me, and he said, yeah, that's fine. You can ask her. And it's so cool, because it tied in with her story of what God was doing, and just the process of healing, of restoration, of us just really pursuing his kingdom and growing in relationship with him. So that was great. So waiting on God, but also having good friends, you know, just around you to encourage you, to keep you accountable, to challenge you even on what you not heard, but you know, on your relationship with God, so you can be genuine about things. So now we've been married now for about just under, next month actually is our third year anniversary, and it's been really just amazing to see how God's just restored, you know, that brokenness that I experienced even with regards to being just in a relationship, a sexual relationship before marriage, how God comes to restore that, and how he brings unity. I think we've just experienced, just even in our marriage now, just such unity between what he wants to do. And I think that's also something I just want to mention to you. Whenever you're going into a relationship or you're looking to go into a relationship, there's all the physical things and what people are looking for, and people must have a relationship with God, and those are good things. But there's one thing that sometimes gets missed is each person, each one of you here has a call on what God wants for you, your purpose. And it looks a little different to some people's. Some people are going to do other things. They're going to be missionaries. Some people are going to be accountants, businessmen, or whatever. But there's something, almost the call on your heart of what God has placed on your heart, that I would say is something that he wants you to pursue. And I think this is something that you need to pair up with, in the sense of what God has said to you and to your partner. Because if one person wants to be a stay-at-home mom and the other one wants to be an evangelist into the nations, you're going to struggle. It can work, but you should have a heart that shares the passion of God and that he's placed in your heart, because it's going to make it a lot easier. It's going to make it a lot easier. And I think that's true for us as well. We, you know, and that's one of the things that I found out from Tanya was, like, what's God saying to you? What's God saying to you in your life? What do you want to do? You know, even if it doesn't look exactly like that, what's your heart saying? You know, and that's something that you can only really know by spending time with people. You can't figure that out on one dance, you know, at a place or something. You really need to get to know and hear what's God saying to your heart. Because if it's similar to mine, then our purpose as a unit, because that's what you are, you become one flesh, and then you serve God's purposes for the rest of your life. Because marriage, and I love what he said, your marriage, it's not for yourself. It's for God's glory, and it's for really sanctifying you to be more like God, and laying down your life. And I think what the world portrays as marriage being this thing that you get everything out of it, that's not the case. It's really about serving each other and serving the people and your community through your marriage, and that's a blessed marriage. So I know I'm talking a lot, and yes.
Just with regards to that, I was just reminded now of, there was a, during those 2 years where God said no relationships and everything, there was someone that liked me and I liked this guy, and we were good friends, and the point where I realized that this really can't go into anything is when we were just chatting about what's the desire of your heart, like, what would you like to do? And for me, my desire has always been to be missional and something in that kind of direction. And this person's desire, greatest desire, was to build a dam. Now don't laugh. But I just couldn't relate to that at all. Like, this person's greatest desire was to build an amazing dam. He was an engineer. And like that, if that's what God placed on their hearts, then God will use that to bring him glory. But I just couldn't relate to that at all. And then that's when I just realized we can never go in the same direction, because our hearts are just not aligned at all. Like, just the, you know, the deepest desire in our heart that God has placed there, not that yours is wrong or mine's wrong, but it's just not the same. And that's where it's so easy for John and I, even in our relationship, because even when we have to make difficult decisions about where we're going in life, it always comes down to where can, you know, God's purpose is first. We want to see the kingdom come, and we want to reach as many people as we can. And so it's easy for us to make decisions because we look at that vision that we both have in our heart, and then we can make a decision, and our decisions will just align with one another, because we have the same purposes and we have the same desires in our heart. And even though we're two different people and with different skills and things like that, we have the same passion and we have the same desire, and the same purpose that God has placed in our lives. So that makes walking in unity a lot easier. So I just want to agree with him on that. Just find out about people. If you're interested in someone, find out what's their heart's desires. What do they want to do in life? What has God placed there? You might not know your calling and your purpose. That's all like big words. But just what do you desire out of life? And can you agree with that in the other person? Can you walk with that? Will you be able to, you know, to stand with them through that? And that's important, because that's what you'll have to do when you're married, to be able to walk in unity. Otherwise, you just won't agree on anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter how in love you are. I think if that's not in place and your relationship with God isn't in order, it's not going to last. You're going to find yourself 20 years down the line fighting because one of you has actually sacrificed what God's placed in your heart to do. And someone had to say no. So you don't want to be at that place if you can actually, you know, just be honest with each other. Say, what's God saying to you? And that comes through knowing a person. So the last, or this one thing out of my story as well, I just want to mention was, I had a friend that was actually a very close friend at the time where I wanted to date Tanya, but God said, wait. He said, no. And the problem with this was that he liked her as well. And we were sort of prayer partners at that time. So he asked me, he knew that I liked her, but God had said no. So he said, well, is it fine if I go for it? And I told him, yeah, I think so. But inside I was going, I was angry. I was upset because I told God, like, God, I trusted you to make a way here. Yeah. And now my friend is asking me this hard question. And I remember telling him, it's fine. And a week later telling him, it's not fine. I'm going to ask for coffee. And he didn't speak to me for a month. Because in a sense, I broke his trust. But I'd spoken to God. A lot happened in a very short time where I just heard from God clearly, no, like, you can ask for coffee. It's fine. Go for this. But it's complicated. That friend of mine now, we are still very good friends. I was his MC at his wedding, and we still Skype often. And he's not here anymore. But it's just amazing how God worked out his plans, because I was just chatting to Tanya. Tanya said she would have said no anyway. So I was like, sure. But that the reality of being in a good friendship and clashing like that of a girl, it was a very difficult time for me. And I really had to trust, instead of what was I was thinking, I had to trust what God said. Again, you had to really listen to what he was saying. And people react differently on these types of things. But that was difficult. It was a very difficult time. But God brought healing, and praise the Lord, he's married now and he's very happy as well. Just want to share one or two as we finish off this evening. Just want to share a few scriptures here with us. Just a warning. I often hear this, you know, maybe not in church, but in the world. People say, whatever the heart wants, it can have. And I'm like, ooh, that's a dangerous thing to say. Our hearts, it says here in Scripture, in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? And we shouldn't trust our hearts. We should trust God's Spirit. And that's why it's so important that we have a relationship with God in this. Otherwise, it becomes incredibly difficult, because you do trust your heart. You do trust your emotions, your feelings, even your thoughts. You know, or your flesh, even worse, because that bypasses all of them. It's like, yes, I want this. This guy's so hot. Or I just want this, you know. But no, that's pretty silly. So then in Psalms, just to contradict that, it says in Psalm 37, verse 3 to 4, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Then in Proverbs, just to match that, it says here in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. And I think that's so important, is that we don't lean on our own understanding. Because even if Tanya and myself, if we start to place our understanding on what we think, then we probably wouldn't have been married together, because we weren't trusting the voice of God. And that's really it. It comes down to that. As much as it's complicated and relationships are complicated, there's no formula for a relationship. If you come into relationship week and you're looking for a formula, unfortunately, you're going to miss it, because everyone is different. I've never seen one relationship that matches another one. People are different, relationships are different, but God's intention for us is to be in healthy relationships and to go into marriage and to glorify Him. But He leads us. He doesn't just say, oh, good luck. I hope you get it right. It's part of His plan for us to be in healthy marriages and healthy relationships. So He gives us His Spirit, and He lets us hear His voice. And this passage in John 10, verse 27 to 28 says it well. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And God really desires for us to hear His voice, you know. He wants us to hear His voice. He'll hear that still small voice, even in our relationships. Maybe you never considered that. You thought, no, I just need to have, some people have a tick list. If He's got these things, then it's it. What if God wants to add something? What if He says, throw the list out? I want you to listen to me. Listen to what I have to say about this. Because if He has set up your life, and he oversees your life, He's seen the beginning and the end, obviously He knows, you know, He knows what is best for you, and He's a good father, so He's going to give you the right gift, if that's a husband or a wife, at the right time. His timing is perfect, and we can really trust Him in that, and that's what we've experienced even in our own relationship, that His timing is perfect, but we need to listen to Him. We need to let Him speak to our spirit. And be led by Him. So, on that, do you want to say something? On that, I want to invite you to, we have a series that we run at church. It's part of just the growth series we run at church, just growing in your relationship with God, which is called Encounter One. And we're not going to do that this evening, where you can actually hear more or hear about how you can grow in that relationship with God and grow in hearing God's Spirit, hearing Him speak to you, because He does, and He leads you. So that's on the first Saturday of each month. It'll be on the 5th of the next month, so 5th of September, and you're all welcome to attend that. You can follow on the website and register if you want to, but you can grow in knowing God's Spirit, in knowing who He is and how He'll lead you in your relationship. And maybe you have a relationship with God, but you've cut Him out of that part. You said, God, I'm going to follow my flesh, I'm going to follow my body and my soul, but when it comes to my spirit, and that's the most difficult one actually to listen to, because it's the softest, it's a whisper. It's like, I want you to do this. And He doesn't say it 100 million times like this. And then you've got to be obedient. You've got to trust God that He knows best in that situation. So that's it for tonight. We really hope that you learn from our stories, and you know, that you can trust God to lead you in your life and through into a healthy relationship. And I'd just like to pray for us as we just close off. Is that okay, Christy? Just pray for us that God will lead us. So let's close our eyes. Yes, Father God, we just thank you this evening for your goodness, God. We thank you for your faithfulness just to lead. Thank you, God, that even when relationships seem complicated, God, that you are a God of order, God, and that you speak to us. You have a relationship with us and that you speak clearly. Lord, may we listen to you, Lord, and where our hearts have grown, or just our spirits have grown cold to you, God, we just ask even now that you'll come and speak to us, that we will know just your voice when you speak to us, Lord, and that we can be led by you, and that we don't have to doubt that. We don't have to doubt that the world, what the world says, but what you say, God, is truth. And we want to follow that, Lord, and we thank you this evening for this time, and we pray just your blessing, Father, over each one here, that you'll lead them into fruitful relationships, God, and things that they struggle with, God, that your grace will cover them. It'll just flow over them, Lord, and that they'll know that you have set them up for success and not for failure. In Jesus' name, amen.
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming his glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You